Next on BYUSN, hey, the 2025 football schedule is out. We're breaking it down. What do we like about it? And what would we change? Plus, it's a bowl night. BYU men's basketball hosting number 20 Arizona. What do we think about BYU being a slight favorite against the Wildcats?
ESPN's Sean Farnham's on the program. How do the Cougars beat Arizona at home tonight in a massive Big 12 game? And Blaine Fowler reacts to BYU football scheduling, including the placement of BYU and that team up north.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, February 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who had his eye close on the Super Bowl festivities last night and all of the gold sound bites that came from it, Jerem Jordan.
Never been. Maybe one day I'll go. It looks like a circus. I've had enough in my own house. But Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, our boy, was asked his favorite book trilogy.
How about the Bible? The Book of Mormon. Pearl of Great Price. I like them all.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're studying the Doctrine and Covenants this year, Andy. That would have been nice to drop that in, too. I'm just kidding.
Big Red doing his thing.
That is my favorite trilogy. The triple combination is my favorite trilogy.
I love the laugh that's included in that soundbite as well. Just, he knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he went there.
And then also in that scrum, Garrett Tenney, who was in school the same time as me. I think he was after you graduated, but when I was still around a little bit. He works for Fox News. He asked Andy a question about faith and the role that faith plays in kind of his coaching, which is great. And he talked about how he knows he has a Heavenly Father and he has that support. And I was like, hey, this is great.
I love that.
This is awesome. So shout out Garrett, shout out Andy. All good stuff, man. And that's a great trilogy.
What an incredible ambassador for Brigham Young University athletics and football in Andy Reid. Plenty of reason to rise and shout. A loaded edition of What's Trending.
We only have how many days until BYU gets Portland State?
We've got great pieces coming back to the puzzle. I expect next year to be better than this year.
When it comes time for fall, that's what Cougar Nation is going to be thinking about, those matchups, and I'm already there.
The Big 12 has announced the football schedules as of this morning. Not a shocker. We told you it was going to happen yesterday. But now we have it, and now we get to react to it. What we love, what we hate, maybe some things that we would tweak just a little bit. So let's take a look at the 2025 BYU football schedule as it was released. We've known about the non-conference games. BYU opens up against Portland State in how many days? Just kidding, we're not going there. Then BYU will host Stanford. How about an early bye on September 13th before BYU travels to North Carolina to take on the Pirates of East Carolina? Then the Big 12 opener, an Alamo Bowl rematch at Colorado in Boulder. BYU then will host West Virginia in their Big 12 home opener before going on the road to Arizona. Utah is the shocker for so many. We'll talk about that at length in just a moment. BYU then has a road game at Iowa State. The Final Four include at Texas Tech, home to TCU, at Cincinnati, and then UCF. Jerem, 12 games down, Utah right smack in the middle. What stands out immediately to you about the current BYU football schedule?
I don't know why BYU-Utah is on October 18th. Why can't it be November 29th? I don't understand.
Or in November at the worst, just late.
Like we didn't like November 9th last year. No, it's earlier. I don't understand that one. The Territorial Cup's November 29th. Why can't BYU's rivalry be there?
And homecoming for BYU, no less. Mid-October.
Homecoming used to be a big deal. It's not a big deal. They don't even do homecoming spectacular now. It's not a big deal for that. You can come back to Provo for a home game anytime you want.
BYU and Utah have never played in the month of October. Ever.
They've never played in October.
Well,
they played in September.
You got to go all the way back, sorry, in the modern era.
I was going to say, in 1967.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I
1967. I mean, it's been forever.
Interesting. The bye week in week three stinks. TCU has one in week two, by the way. That's even worse. There are four teams in the league that have one in week three. Not ideal because you'd like to get out to sea a little more. Like Portland State, Stanford, bye. Ugh. At East Carolina, which I don't know. I'm not personally a big fan of G5 road games, period.
Did now it last
that,
year.
Now that BYU is in a P4, I guess a G6 with the Pac-12. Now that BYU is P4, why? You don't need to. You don't need to. I know BYU's like a very good partner in scheduling. Tom Holm was like,
he's honoring some contracts that were back in independence.
Tom Holm was a better dude than I am. I would be like, no, we're a big dog. Sorry, no, I'm buying this one out. Playing at Iowa State is tough after Utah. That's a tough two-game stretch there. Then a bye. I do like that bye.
Yep.
After those two. In the middle of the season, BYU plays 5 of 7 on the road. There's a bye worked in there. That's a tough stretch. That could define the whole season, which would be interesting. Gregor Bell pointing out first time hosting West Virginia, first time playing at Iowa State. Cincinnati, November 22nd, could be a super cold one. That's interesting. The Friday night conference weekend West Virginia game. I think that's a fun game in the home opener.
Yeah.
I think BYU is going to be money every year in the home opener in Big 12. So far, I believe they're 2-0 in that situation. So, excited about it. As for how tough the schedule is and how good the opponents are, after last year, I don't even care to really predict that. We'll still try during the offseason here, but you look at it and you go, hey, somewhat favorable. In terms of, I think only 5 of those 9 teams made a bowl game. You certainly expect Utah to be better. I don't expect Colorado to be as good, although they have they have the number one quarterback recruit in the country going there and Liberty's quarterback. West Virginia's interesting, little payback for what happened in 23. Arizona, you feel like it's winnable. At Iowa State feels like a tough game. At Texas Tech feels like a tough game. TCU, UCF at home, you like the chances there. At Cincinnati, like, hey, go win that one. So this feels like, just on the surface looking, there's a lot of details and transfer portal stuff still to be figured out, but another year where BYU could go 8-plus wins. But BYU certainly aiming for, no, December 6th, we want to be in Dallas.
I can't wait for the preseason poll to be released and then all of us to say, all right, who's picked to finish 16th? Okay,
you
they're probably
the
going to
win
it. You could win the league. Well, 11-16.
And West Virginia 2 years ago was last and they finished like top 5.
It's crazy.
What we have to fill the space, so we're going to talk about it, but
yes,
who knows?
This conference so unpredictable. I put out my ideal schedule yesterday.
How does stack up?
My November is almost identical to what I wanted. I wanted a bye week on November 1st before BYU had to travel to play at Texas Tech, 2 weeks to prepare for a tough road game. Yep. Then I had TCU at home on November 15th at Cincinnati on November 22nd.
Look at you.
Guess what the one change I wanted there in November was?
Brigham, Utah.
And Utah to close out.
Yeah.
BYU instead gets UCF.
I want an answer from the league. Like, next time we ever talk to Yormark, be like, why not?
It might be an advantage for BYU to host UCF because they're coming from Orlando in warm weather and they got to come to elevation and it's going to be freezing on Thanksgiving weekend. So I like that aspect of it, but my goodness, I would so much rather have Utah there than UCF. And then I would have called literally from November 1st to November 29th, ideal. Like, this is what I want.
Now we either give you Biff's Almanac or we put you on curing cancer at that point. Like, that would be an amazing stretch.
It's just weird. October 18th is such a strange time to play that game against Utah.
Any date but November 29th is strange to me.
Like,
why not?
At the worst point in the latter part of the schedule.
I know that's going to be the popular opinion today, and I am adding to that with a microphone here. Why not? What was last year's game not compelling enough? Was it not dramatic enough or interesting enough? Were the ratings not good enough? All of those are the opposite. It was awesome. I don't get it. So hopefully, hopefully BYU can approximate what they did last year. I think in the end, you look at where bye weeks are and where certain teams are. There's some tough stretches. Like, the toughest stretch is clearly, to me, Utah at home. Iowa State, bye week at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Those 3 and 4 weeks feel like a tough stretch. Again,
grateful for the bye week in there.
Right? And again, the calendar dictates this. There are 2 bye weeks. I love the 2 bye weeks thing. I think it's important, especially for the teams that make the playoff and go a ways.
Absolutely.
You're playing an NFL schedule.
I just wanted the bye week on conference weekend. First week of October would have been ideal.
You know who does have that?
Utah. Interesting. Interesting.
Ain't watching as much as this fan base. Come on. Some of them are, but not as many. Come on.
I like that there's not a crazy travel sequence
in
there.
Friday game, we're good.
Like, I know BYU has to go to North Carolina on September 20th, but then
by choice.
Yeah, it's coming off of a bye week.
Yeah.
But then they don't have to turn around and go somewhere else super far away. It's just a quick trip to Denver. So there are two road games in a row, which is never fun. But
yeah,
at East Carolina, at Colorado is not terrible. Now, the weird part about the schedule as far as fans go and wanting to watch at Lavelle Edwards Stadium is you go almost a month between home games, September 6th to October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a layoff.
And then you only have October 18th until November 15th. You would have one in a month and a half. There's an eight-week stretch. Good point by our producer, Colton Potter, who, by the way, is from Indiana, went to the Pacers-Jazz game last night.
Go Pacers, they won.
Jordan, how dare you? Eight-week stretch with one bye, two home games, five road games. That's tough, man.
That's a unique setup, to say the least.
Bureau has two home games up front and then two of the last three.
Yeah.
And then you have two wedged in the middle, like we said, that are...
You have a month between home games.
It's going to be
a month.
You always got to be road warriors. So now, how did last year's team thrive? They said, hey, no one believes we can do this. If I'm Kalani today, whether it's real or not, I go, the Big 12 doesn't want us to win this. Look at us having to go on the road so much. Dot, dot, dot. Look at the bike. Like, you can make up stuff to motivate your team to somewhat. I'm not talking unethically. I'm just talking.
Sure.
Michael Jordan looks at someone. They give him a weird look. Now he's, like, fired up about it. Okay, whatever reason you need to be fired up, get up for the game. BYU has a reason to go, oh, we're gonna have to be road warriors. No one thinks we can go on the road.
That's the new angle.
That's the new mental advantage. That's what I'm saying. And then they go, well, Cougar Nation is going to show up at all these road games. Which road game is the most desirable here, by the way? At ECU, at Colorado, at Arizona, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech, at Cincinnati.
Those are all kind of not super popular destinations.
Yeah.
Ames, Lubbock. I mean, I like Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a great place.
The only major city there is what? Denver with Colorado?
Denver's probably the easiest trip to make. And even then,
and in September, it's not going to be cold yet.
45-minute drive to Boulder. Boulder, if you haven't watched a college football game in Boulder, it's an awesome experience. Like, the facade, the whole setup of the stadium there.
Nice.
Really cool setup. So
I want to just sit in the Colorado part in the end.
Yeah.
Just, like, try and scale scale that.
With that black facade and the gold letters.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a cool setup. It's a cool place to watch a college football game. It's Boulder is 100% a college town, so you will feel that. So that might be a destination. Ames... If you want, like, true college town experience and, like, this is the only thing going on around, then you go to Ames and you watch the game at Iowa State. 59,000 people fit in that stadium.
Jack Trice, man.
That would be a unique setup, but it's a hard place to get to. And it's not cheap to get to. So, yeah, there's some interesting road destinations. Lubbock also not great. Not easy to get to in terms. Not great for travel.
I want that to be clipped out of context. Lubbock, not great.
We like our Texas Tech homies.
Remember when we showed there was a house for sale that was like a BYU sports themed man cave or whatever?
Yes.
Which was in Lubbock. So you'll have to go check that out. You have to go see it. Maybe it's still on the market.
See if it's still there.
Maybe BYU Sports Station should buy it.
Real estate special.
We just rent it out for BYU road games.
Okay. Listen, if you were going to make one tweak immediately, other than the Utah game.
It's like, you know the one,
than the Utah game, what would it be? Because that, to me, is the real question. Everybody wants to change the Utah game to November 29th, but what after that?
Now that we've chronicled sort of this, like, eight-week run of only two home games, so, like, mix in another home game in there somewhere. I'd love the bye week later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Portland State and Stanford back-to-back. I think BYU – by the way, to your question in a second, but I think BYU can get off to a hot start in this season.
Yes, I was just going to say 5-1 to me feels very doable.
Absolutely. And who's the loss? Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona? I don't think BYU is losing to Stanford at home. We'll call that the Hinkley – Ropati game or the LJ Martin game, right?
Maybe give him one place for the typical hiccup in there.
Yeah, which last year BYU didn't have until the end. It was the Kansas game was the hiccup.
Yeah.
Right? And one would argue only two losses, whatever. Probably I'd rather November 1st. November 1st, you have a bye week. I don't know. Utah at Iowa State at Texas Tech. I'd like something, another game, another opponent. A Cincinnati, a UCF, maybe even a TCU, I don't know, in there so that you don't stack those three in a row.
The only other thing I would change is the bye week. Yeah, they, like
the early other, one.
Like move the you, that bye week to the first week of October. So you have a bye week the first week of October, the and then conference. A bye week. Yes, yeah. The first week of November. Maybe put Iowa State or Utah after the bye week too.
Right. Last year was nice with Utah after the bye week, but Utah also had said bye week. So it was like,
yeah, I didn't
well,
like that.
Neutralized.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do love that BYU has a bye before Texas Tech.
Overall, third year in the Big 12, I'm still excited to just be in a Power Four league. Like, we're like kind of used to it, but yeah. I'm not completely used to it. I'm going, hey, this is awesome. Let's go. And this is a schedule where BYU could win 10 plus. I'm not saying they're going to win 10 plus. I want them to. We all want them. We want them to win 12. But I think this team with this schedule, they could do some damage. You got to win all those one-score yeah. games like you did.
Listen,
at
BYU's
that level
gonna,
to
BYU's going to open up as a top 20 team, probably yeah. top 16. I think they'll probably show up around somewhere around 16 to begin the preseason polls. You start 5-1, you're hanging around yeah. the entire time.
You're interesting.
And I feel like 5-1 is very, very feasible with this schedule. Okay, our question of the day. The Big 12 released BYU's football schedule this morning. We just chronicled it, went through every single one of those 12 games. Told you what we love, what we don't exactly love. What do you love about it, and what would you change? I'm gathering that many of you will probably feel the same way that we do about the BYU-Utah scenario and date. At @Zach_Zilla, BYU on X answers, it'd be so easy to swap UCF and Utah.
Yeah, that feels pretty easy. I would love an answer from the league about why it's not there.
At the
And
main,
I wish so bad they'd just say, Kyle asked for it not to be. What?
He wanted to irk you, so we accommodated.
I want that to be the
and
answer.
And he wanted
the
general conference bye.
I don't know.
At the
you
name
can watch it on demand too, right?
B_Rad on X. Not digging the two home games in a 7-game stretch,
yeah.
which we talked about.
Yep.
I'm liking UCF having to come to Provo in a cold, possibly snowy November game, which yep. we also pointed out.
Yep. Good stuff.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Oh, by the way, huge game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
BYU men's basketball team, 4-game win streak. Amazing. Taking on number 20 Arizona. Odds makers currently have BYU by 2.5 at home. BYU's a favorite.
Oh, it's up to 2.5.
It's up to 2.5, dog. Ken Pom, 52% chance to win. ESPN around 46%.
Okay.
What do you think of those numbers?
I think it's fair, and here is why. Arizona, outside of having to play at West Virginia, winning at West Virginia is always tough. Going to Morgantown is tough. That was a good road win for Arizona. Who have they beaten on the road in conference? They have not really played
interesting.
Many teams in super hostile environments.
Let's look at it.
There's an Arizona State in there recently.
At Cincy.
There's an Oklahoma State.
At West Virginia. At Texas Tech. Lost by
16. Oh, interesting, Jeremy. The
at
one super tough road game they played was at Texas Tech, and they lost by 16.
That's a great point. BYU by a million. Let's go.
This is not your typical road game that Arizona has played today. They're going to be significantly challenged down the stretch. They have to play at Kansas and at Iowa State as well later on in the schedule.
Iowa State looks good but not great. They were top five. They've lost three in a row.
Yeah, that's kind of they're in a weird funk right now. I think Arizona kind of broke them, speaking of Arizona, with that three-quarter court heave descended to overtime and then
make
winning
both
that game.
Late, you win.
Like that. Iowa State hasn't been the same since that happened. They,
they lost
that
to
game.
Kansas State at home by like 19.
They've lost the three games they've lost in a row, all by 10-plus.
Yeah.
Which is super weird, okay,
yeah.
including the overtime game against Arizona. But I'm just saying, like, for me, I looked at the resume and I thought, okay, what is Arizona on the road? Why would BYU be a home favorite against a team that is tied for first in the conference? And then I looked at what they had done and what they have not yet had to do on the road, and that is play – in some super tough environments.
Mm.
The one really tough place they played, again, Texas Tech, lose by 16. This, to me, makes sense because the Marriott Center is an absolute gauntlet for any team. Texas Tech had to survive BYU in Provo, and if BYU doesn't shoot 5-for-23 from the three-point line in that game, they probably win that game.
They could have. And
Texas
Marriott
Tech
looks Center great.
Is every bit as magical and tough to play in as Hilton Coliseum at Iowa State. And as tough to play at Texas Tech. And it's just as tough as the Fertitta Center where Houston plays.
McHale. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All of it.
All of those home venues, BYU's is right up there. And so that's where I'm first and foremost buying BYU as a home favorite, because until Arizona wins in a super tough environment on the road, we'll see. BYU's so good at home. And BYU typically so good at home shooting the three. And just like we've seen in some previous games, Arizona allows a lot of three-pointers to be taken. They get after it on the offensive glass. Top 25 offensive rebounding percentage team. They're super efficient because they get a lot of putback points, a lot of second chance points. They're super physical. They'll put you on the free throw line. They'll dare you to beat them by fouling you and muddying up the game. That's how they beat you. They wear you down. But the three-point opportunities will be there for BYU. Arizona's holding opponents to about 32%. Can BYU be around the 35% mark and take care of business on their home floor? That's where I feel like BYU has an advantage. So I'm actually buying this. Am I crazy?
Well, yes, but not on this point. 23rd in offensive rebound percentage. That's great. That's great. BYU's sixth in defending that.
There you go.
So
BYU gets after it on glass.
I love Kaba Keita, who's top 10 in offensive rebound and defensive rebound percentage individually in the country, against Tobe Awaka, who's number one in offensive rebound percentage. That matchup is amazing. Star power Caleb Love is really good. Can BYU shut him down? He is a volume shooter, however, 14 field goals a game. Paging Mwitmag. Things in BYU's favor. BYU's at home, as you mentioned. BYU's hot right now, 4-game win streak. BYU has the exact same offensive and defensive efficiency numbers, by the way, right now, exactly,
wild,
as last season. BYU's 8th in effective field goal percentage, 9th in two-point percentage, 38th in three-point percentage. BYU shoots it well. And BYU knows they need a win to validate everything on the resume. At the end, they got to have an Arizona or a Kansas or an Iowa State win on there.
They got the Baylor already.
Three. Baylor should be the second best win of the year, if not third or fourth, if you can stack a couple other good ones. A win tonight puts you in a tie for fourth in the Big 12 with Iowa State and Kansas. Tonight is huge. I expect BYU to win. And it's not an upset because BYU is favored. Crazy.
Late night Marriott Center magic. Yeah, Ken Pom, we've talked about this a few times this week, giving BYU a 52% chance to win. The only metric that we've referenced this week that has some credence really is ESPN's Basketball Power Index, and they give Arizona a slight advantage to come in here. Either way,
yeah,
feels
54%.
Like a coin flip game, but Vegas and KenPom say BYU home favorite. I'm buying in late night Marriott Center. We have watched some late night games at the Marriott Center.
Yeah, and they were against Santa Clara. There were others against Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But this is one of those nights, like it's a late tip, 9 p.m. local, pregame 10 Eastern against number 20 Arizona, which is coming up tonight. Cannot wait. BYU TV, BYU Radio, again, pregame 10 Eastern time.
Let's go.
The game after that. Hey, we got you covered. We'll be live with all the storylines.
Let's go.
Courtside. JT in the house is guest analyst tonight. Can't wait.
ESPN's Sean Farnham will join us next to preview the game we've just been talking about. Is he buying BYU as a home favorite? And what would a win do for BYU other than get them to 5 straight victories? How would it change their perception in the national landscape? This is BYUSA.
Ready for the challenge, but you're coming into the Marriott Center, which is a different place to play. This is an opportunity to show they're one of the top teams in the Big 12. They are continuing to stay hungry, and this is our time to fire off 6, 7, 8 wins in a row. Let's go out and get more.
Oh, shout out to the editors for that.
What? Raising our game. Let's go.
Outstanding hype video right there as we welcome you back to Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Joining us now from his lofty perch in Bristol, Connecticut, is ESPN college basketball analyst, insider, expert, all-around good man. He is Sean Farnham. All right, Sean, we said it last week. Hey, BYU's got an opportunity to go out and prove that this 3-game win streak isn't a fluke. Got to go on the road. Got to beat UCF. You said, look, I'm not expecting BYU to win that game. Then they do it, Sean. So now that they won 4 in a row, how has your perception changed on the Cougars since last week?
Well, and look, they're trending in the right direction, right? I think defensively they did a lot of really good things in that game against UCF. UCF did a lot of the things that they normally do. 21 out of 25 from the free throw line. They get there as much as anybody in the country. But the ball movement, the three-point shooting from beyond the arc, the 14 made three-pointers, BYU executed the way that you need to in order to get a win on the road. And road wins are gold inside the Big 12. Like when you win on the road, it's like 2 wins at home. And that was a massive performance for them. And it's one that, like, all of a sudden, you know, guys, we were talking about how many wins are they going to end up with at the end of the regular season in conference play. all of a sudden you start going, wait, 11 is really doable now. Like, really doable. We could get to 12. What if we get to 12? Can we get to, like, things steamroll pretty quickly and teams can go on a run. And there's enough firepower on this team. And that's been part of the struggle with me, at least at times, is looking at this roster and knowing the roster so well that when they took some losses, I was like, man, that's a bad loss for them. Mm. Like, they should be winning that game. And, you know, in particular, the Utah game. And you know, think back on that one. If you win that one, how much different does it feel right now? Even more so, mm-hmm. based on this win streak. So there's a lot of close margins. There hasn't been a lot of great separation in a lot of these games, and I think that's probably going to continue down the stretch. But Richie Saunders and what he's done this year has been outstanding. I mean, he is the best player on this team, the most consistent player, and that's saying a lot considering there's two guys on this team that could be drafted in the NBA draft. But Richie Saunders has been that guy that's kind of been the heartbeat of this group. And he has been the most consistent shooter from the outside. His confidence in who he is and how he's playing has been elite. I think it's been really fun to watch.
At the handshake line, after Kei Bikeda, you know, some people started John with him, Darius Johnson, you know, Arizona doesn't have a handshake line with Arizona State. Do you predict that BYU and Arizona will shake hands tonight?
No. Why are you guys so angry all the time? Like, why is BYU such an angry? No, I'm just kidding.
We didn't start it. They started it.
I know. I'm just being sarcastic. No, there'll be a handshake line tonight. That was preposterous anyways down at Tempe over the weekend. Like, I couldn't figure that one out. Like, you know, a lot of stuff that went on down the stretch of that game. I think both sides had played their role in what transpired and in the competitive rivalry. And I've been in those situations before. At the end of it, you should still be able to shake hands without altercation. But, you know, I don't know. This, maybe I'm just the old guy that says, like, hey, you can do that now. But, and the new kids are like, nah, we're not doing that. I don't think there'll be any issue in that tonight. I think tonight will be very competitive. I think it'll be very spirited. I think it's going to be very aggressive. I think it's going to be hostile at times. I think Arizona's going to feel that environment. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think they're shaking hands.
Sean, BYU is a 2.5-point favorite according to Vegas. They got a 52% chance to win according to KenPom. I just presented my idea as to why that might be, and that is because Arizona hasn't faced the toughest road schedule. Clearly the toughest road game they played is their only Big 12 loss, losing by 16 at Texas Tech. They do have the road win at West Virginia, which is, to their credit, good. But outside of that, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Arizona State, those are not great teams right now. Playing at the Marriott Center, as you know, is very different. So am I crazy to buy into BYU as a favorite making sense?
You're not crazy. I would not say they're the favorite going into tonight's game. Mm. But I, you're not crazy for that because I was at that game at Texas Tech, and Texas Tech and their defensive philosophy of kind of playing that pack line defense, in particular in the second half, forced Arizona to deviate from their, what has made them successful during their stretch here. They've been playing outstanding basketball, obviously sitting at 9-1 atop the conference, since their 4-5 start. And in large part, that's been based on ball movement. When they share the basketball, some really good things happen. When they start playing one-on-one basketball, things start to deteriorate very quickly. Caleb Love is kind of the catalyst within that, too. I think it was Jeremy in the last segment talked about him being a volume shooter.
Yeah.
He is, but he's been also much more efficient during this stretch. So while he shoots a lot, he's also been making a lot. And then you add in his assist numbers. I believe he had 7 assists on Saturday at ASU. If he's shooting a lot, that's one thing. But if he's passing it as much as he's shooting it, all of a sudden that brings about better ball movement for this group. And I think that's been the biggest key, because what that allows them to do through their good offense and not turning it over as much and getting better quality shot and forcing their opponents to take the ball out of the net, they get back and they get to set their defense. And anytime a team gets to set their defense, they're inherently going to be better. Right. If you turn the ball over, and again, if there was a concern of mine tonight, you can talk about the shooting numbers. You can talk about the similarities in rebounding and all of those things that you guys were talking about in the last segment. But 17 turnovers in the game against UCF And that led to 18 points. You have 17 turnovers tonight. I promise you Arizona's getting over 25 points off those turnovers, and that is a great neutralizer. And so they have to really value the basketball tonight against this Wildcats team. It's not just their offensive rebounding ability. Jaden Bradley is a very good defensive player. KJ Lewis is very physical out on the wing. They have multiple guys that are willing to get into a stance and defend. I think Carter Bryant, their very talented freshman, is starting to play better and better every single game. He's been an essential aspect of this run, outside of just their interior presence and the guys that can rebound underneath.
I feel like BYU needs on Selection Sunday to have on the resume the best win being either Arizona, Kansas, or Iowa State at some point, like one of those three.
I heard you say that. Why?
So that they can be as high a seed as possible. You could gobble up some of the other ones, but if you have one of these, like top 20, top 15 net games, that kind of gives you a little more oomph. Which of those three is most winnable for BYU?
Listen, I think if you finish in the top four in the Big 12, it's really not going to matter where you're at. Top five,
you'll grab one of those if you finish top four.
Well, I mean, maybe, but maybe not. I mean, you look around what's going on. Like, Iowa State's really banged up right now. So, like, the way teams are defending Iowa State right now are completely different than where they were playing Iowa State like a couple weeks ago. They can't make shots. And so all of a sudden they become a little bit of like, okay, well, what's going on there? How long is those injuries going to happen? I think if you look at the upcoming schedule, I think this opportunity and the Kansas opportunity are the two best opportunities to get another signature win on your schedule. But within that, there's other games that are equally important. It cannot just be, and this is, I think we do this all the time. We focus too much on, well, they need another signature win. Here's what they need. They need to not have a bad loss as much as they need that big win. Like if you lose to Utah in the final game of the regular season at home, that's a bad loss.
Sure.
If you lose to West Virginia at home, bad loss. If you lose to Kansas State at home, even though Kansas State, by the way, playing much, much better, it ends up being a bad loss. Cincinnati on the road is a game you have to go win now because Cincinnati's struggling so much. So as much as we talk about those games, I would put more onus, the big games, I would put more onus on the games that I just mentioned than necessarily these huge wins. These huge wins, that's the whipped cream and the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. You can still have a great sundae without those two ingredients. It makes it better, sure. But I think the substance in the season is going to be not losing some of those games that you need to win, that you look at and say, if we're going to be a top half finisher in conference play, we can't take a bad loss. Because if I told you, hey, you're going to beat Arizona, but you're going to lose to Utah again on your home floor to end the season, that negates all the positivity of winning the game tonight.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Hey, we're here for the sweet cream base, Sean, okay? We want the substance, okay? Part of BYU
I've gone to In-N-Out up the street after games, and I see what that In-N-Out looks like. Like, you go up that road, I forget what road it is. He goes, wraps up around, it's like on the way to Utah Valley. Yeah. And you go to the In-N-Out there after a BYU game. Every student that's in the Rock is essentially in that In-N-Out at that point in time. It is madhouse.
It's probably the only thing open.
Especially tonight.
It might be.
Sean Farnham is on BYU Sports Station. Okay, part of the substance of that ice cream base has been BYU's three-point shooting, specifically during the four-game win streak, Sean. BYU has taken 101 three-pointers in that four-game stretch and made 48. And I'm doing some quick math here, and that's, I think, about 47.5%, which is a crazy number. How sustainable is BYU's three-point shooting at that mark?
It's not. Like it's just not. Like, there's no team in the country that shoots 47% as a team over a long, long stretch period of time, especially when you look at the defenses that you're going to be playing coming up. And in particular, teams are going to try to continue to run BYU off the three-point line because they're looking at those same numbers and they're seeing the same metrics. So I think that will be, they'll have to make another adjustment. The season is all about making adjustments. However, this is a good enough shooting team to be a 40% three-point shooting team, and that's elite. When you as a group, as a collective group, can shoot 40%, that's elite. If you're shooting 47%, that just gets silly. And they've been silly as of late. And so tip of the cap, Now, there's a byproduct to why they've been silly from beyond the arc, and that's because of their ball movement. They are willing to turn down a good shot to find a great shot on a consistent basis. And everybody that's got their feet set from beyond the arc, they are locked in. They are shot ready on the catch. They're not hesitating. And that is a confidence that Coach Young has given to this group. And it's a group that a year ago excelled from beyond the arc. And we're seeing a lot of those same pieces from last season step up and make shots now during the stretch run. And they'll continue to. I mean, I don't anticipate that this is going to be a poor shooting team by any stretch of the imagination. And I think at times they've undershot from the three-point line. Like, they have not hit their mark. But I think their mark overall will be about 40% when we're all said and done at the end of the season. And that's an elite team from beyond the arc. And tonight's another example of a game where they can make some shots from beyond the arc, in particular in transition. I think the transition three is going to be very key tonight. Like, how many of these three-point shots are going to come in transition? Arizona's length can be problematic in the half-court set. But when you've got guys running the wing, and can you get them spaced and kick ahead and play out in front of that defense and shoot it with that confidence? And I've seen that so many times inside that building in big games, that BYU can do that no matter what the roster look like and who the pieces are. But this is one of those games tonight where you want to try to play out out of front of that defense as much as possible, running on misses, running on turnovers, and making sure you're spacing to the corners and spacing to the wing to knock down those three-point shots. And if you get the ball in the paint, that opposite side three on the diagonal kick is going to be open. So they like to collapse. They like to utilize their length and swarm. If you can quickly move the ball, you're going to find that diagonal to the opposite side corner will be open. And those are the kind of three-point shots that tonight BYU has to knock down.
Desert swarm.
Yes. Sean, I wish you a full sundae tonight. All the ice cream, all the toppings, whatever you want.
You haven't been to the cafeteria. You need to come to Bristol, Connecticut, and enjoy the cafeteria.
I've been one time to the cafeteria.
I've heard great things about it. Okay. All right. It's on
the
to-do
list. It is really
the
ESPN commercial. Shams will be there tonight, and you better believe that I will be like, seriously, I thought you were hacked.
Dude,
we all did.
By the way,
I was on air.
That can't be there. That has to be the most crazy breaking news you've ever had in a live scenario. That is wild.
Yeah, just so you guys, like, out behind the curtain, right? We all know that in television we have a button that we can hit talk back. And when we hit talk back, it kills the mic to the audience listening at home, and it allows me to talk to my producer. So my producer gets in my ear on Saturday, Gonzaga St. Mary's, and goes, hey, you're probably going to want to mention a major trade just went down in the NBA. And I said, who? AD for Luka. I said, stop. And he goes, no, seriously. And I'm like, no, seriously, no. He's like, Shams is reporting. I'm like, he got hacked. Like, I'm not saying that on air. There's no possible way that actually happened. Then I grab my phone, and, you know, we're in the middle of a segment. Dave Fleming's doing all of his talking and all that. And I, like, look down, and Kevin Connors, who's hosting SportsCenter, goes, dude, trade just went down, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, this is real. And so then I said it on air, and Fleming was like, I couldn't even get to the K of Luka. And, like, and he was like, what? Like, his voice cracked. It was awesome. It was nuts. Cause you knew it was going to take over. And the only part that frustrated me is it happened on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the reason why is Saturday was such an awesome day of college basketball, from start to finish. So many great games, so many important games. I mean, the comeback for Baylor, being down 21 and knocking off Kansas, huge. I think the biggest win of the weekend actually was Texas Tech, because they did it without JT Toppin and their head coach essentially for the entire game.
Wild.
And they were able to win that game. I mean, that was a massive win for Texas Tech, who to me is the team that everybody should be fearful of right now inside the Big 12, because they're connected defensively. They've got multiple shooters out on the floor. Their interior guys have been playing, and they've done it without being completely healthy. I mean, they've won games with Darren Williams out on an injury. They've done it without Toppin. They keep just winning games. And I think that's going to add to the strength of this conference as we come down the final couple of weeks.
Sean, great to catch up with you, man. Glad you survived that breaking news madness.
And,
wrap.
It's time to wrap. Be well, man. We'll look forward to your coverage.
All right, I'll see you guys next week. Everybody enjoy the game tonight.
You got it. Sean Farnham of ESPN, working hard, doing his thing on BYU Sports Station.
I was in the middle of the Gonzaga St. Mary's game.
That's like, crazy.
What?
Yeah, it's a Dave Fleming reaction.
Right?
It's hilarious.
What?
What?
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern, on the BYU TV app.
After the break, let's go back to the BYU football 2025 schedule and roll out your Tuesday headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation, Utah in October.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Here is a quick version of your Tuesday headlines.
Big 12 Conference released the football schedule for Brigham Young University's intercollegiate football team. Notably, BYU opens the season August 30th, hosting Portland State. BYU opens Big 12 play September 27th at Colorado. Utah playing BYU October 18th. That's BYU's homecoming game. BYU close out the season playing host to UCF on November 29th.
BYU men's basketball hosting 20th-ranked Arizona tonight at the Marriott Center. The Cougars currently 6-4 in the Big 12 Conference, tied for fifth. Arizona enters tonight's game tied for first at 9-1 in league. Oddsmakers favor BYU by 2.5 points. KenPom gives the Cougars a 52% chance to hold serve on their home floor. Pre-game coverage, anything and everything you could possibly want to know about the game, begins at 10 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Still on the way, he's a dual-threat analyst. He is the great Blaine Fowler. He will join us to take a deeper dive into the BYU football schedule. What does he love and what would he change? Stay with us. BYU Sports Station continues live from Studio B as we again look at the 2025 BYU football schedule and do so with our next guest. He is our dual threat analyst covering both football and basketball. Obviously, we're talking football here. Blaine Fowler on the program. Blaine, BYU opens the season on August 30th against Portland State. Again, we've known about the non-conference games for a while, but then you look at what the Big 12 revealed today, opening the conference slate at Colorado, but clearly everyone's circling October 18th and saying, Utah, homecoming, mid-October, why? What do you think about that matchup there? And we'll start the conversation with the rivalry game.
I don't like where it is. I think I've been pretty plain to say, I want that game on an afternoon on Thanksgiving weekend on Saturday. But that's selfishly for what I want, you know, and for what we all want, for the fans and for the local rivalry. If I'm Brett Bjormark and I'm looking at it, I get it. I get that if you're wanting to market this league, do you really want the marquee matchup? So the best rivalry in the league now with the teams that have left, it's the best rivalry in the league. It's the most heated rivalry in the league. Do you really want it to compete with Ohio State and Michigan and Auburn and Alabama and all these big national rivalry games? Or do you want it on a weekend when it may be the biggest game in the entire country? So from a league perspective, I get the thinking. I don't know if they even thought that deeply into it, but if I'm your mark and I'm trying to promote the league, I want my biggest games on weekends when all eyeballs will be on it. So do I like it there? No, I don't love it there. I don't love that they play Utah and then go immediately on the road, because Utah, no matter how good or bad they are on a given year, and I do feel like they're going to be in the middle of the league this year just because brand new offensive coordinator, brand new quarterback, they're always going to be great on defense. So I don't think it's like, oh, they're the best team in the league and BYU has to play them. But I think it doesn't matter where they are. It's going to be a tough game for BYU, and then they got to turn around and go on the road at Iowa State the very next game. So those two things combined, I don't love it, but I get it. If I'm the league, I get it. If I'm your mark, I'm good with it. So I see both sides of this one.
I don't want logic here, Blaine. I want emotion. I want
emotionally, you guys know. And I've said, I want it Thanksgiving weekend on Saturday at 1 o'clock. That's what I want. But
what's
if I'm thinking
game?
Outside objectively, I get, yeah. And so it's weird. It's a weird time for me. But when I take it all into consideration from outside of my own wants, I think, yeah, it probably makes sense to the league.
It is interesting, too, because that starts, as you mentioned, this tough three-game schedule. It's all tough. You're in Power Four Conference.
Right,
Utah
right.
At home, at Iowa State the next week, bye week, at Texas Tech. In fact, there's a 7 or 8 week stretch where BYU's only home twice. Feels like BYU's going to have to define the season on the road for the most part in the middle of the year.
Yeah, when I look at where the byes are with that, like you mentioned, that really rough stretch, at least the second bye comes and breaks up the back-to-back away games in league. So they don't have back-to-back aways in league, really. because they're at Iowa State. Then they have a bye to get ready to go to Texas Tech. So I think that's a strategically placed bye for BYU. I just wish the first bye was a week or two later. In fact, you know, even if it was just right after the East Carolina game. So you finish the preseason, you kind of figure out who you are, and now you got to get ready to go on the road and play in Folsom Field at Colorado. And to have an extra week to kind of regenerate and get ready for league play, that to me, that would be the ideal place for that bye. I don't know that it doesn't that much good, you know, right after Stanford before they go to East Carolina. And then they go all the way to the East Coast, and then they have to come back and go on the road to Colorado. And mind you, I don't – like if I'm ranking my preseason, I don't have Colorado at the top of the league. I have them in maybe the top five or six. But just because it's really difficult to replace a first-round draft pick quarterback and a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. I don't care how much talent they have, and they do have a bunch of talent, and they tapped into the transfer portal again. So it's going to be a crazy talented team, as usual. But Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are so dynamic. To replace them is going to be a difficult task. So BYU has a bye, you know, a bye before that East Carolina game, which I don't think they need. I wish they had the bye before the Colorado game, but maybe Colorado's not as imposing as it might seem. I love the rematch. There's going to be a ton of eyeballs on that one. But really, how often does have the team have to replace two players that dynamic and have that much impact on the game? So I don't know that Colorado is right at the top of the league again this next year.
Blaine, I'll tell you what I love about this. Looking at the first six games, I feel like 5-1 is incredibly feasible for what BYU brings back and what they're going to face. Again, I know there will be some wild cards in there. Some teams will be better than we think they're supposed to be. There will be good teams that are not as good as we think they're going to be, but I believe that 5-1 is a very attainable goal, and BYU, we believe, is going to start somewhere in the top 20 ranking. So how do you see that and the first six and BYU hanging around in the rankings? Is that too ambitious of me to hope for in that regard?
No, I actually see a pathway to 6-0 going into the Utah game. Just because, as I mentioned, I think Colorado is going to be really talented, but I think it's going to be hard to replace those two. And so I don't, you know, if I'm looking at my top teams in the league, I think Iowa State is back there with Rocco Beck. You know, they're always going to be one of the most physical teams in the league. They're always going to play great defense. They need to retool at wide receiver, but I've got Iowa State right up there. I've got BYU, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Arizona State as my top four in the league. In that order, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Arizona State. I think Baylor coming on and Texas Tech are right up there at the top of the league. So, you know, they don't play Texas Tech until November 8th. I think Texas Tech's going to be really good, especially if Baron Morton comes back from shoulder surgery healthy. Iowa State, who I think is going to contend for a title again next year with Beck back at quarterback, that's not until October 25th. Utah's got a brand new offensive coordinator and a brand new quarterback. I think he's really dynamic, but he's taken a step up in competition. I'd rather play Utah for that reason earlier than later. I think Utah's going to be much better at the end of the season than they are at the beginning. They'll be better in the middle than they are at the beginning, but even better at the end. So maybe it's not a bad thing to play them October 18th. And as I look at that, West Virginia coming to Live Outdoor Stadium is not an easy thing to do. As physical and as good as they've been, but they got Rich Rodriguez back. They're going to be feeling their way out with a brand new coach. So I look like there's a pathway to 6-0 to start the season. And then Utah's at home. So why not 7-0 as you go on the road to Iowa State? And I think Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU is a really rough run right there. I'm not saying they're going to be 6-0, but I'm saying that is not a crazy thought to think that they can start 6-0. It's not crazy at all.
Blaine Fowler with us on BYU Sports Nation. Jerem's got the blue goggles out, Blaine.
Let's go.
Let's go.
There you go, baby. 6-0, man. Yeah. 7-0. Let's go. Hey.
You know, what we've learned is the margin of victory and losing in this league is slim. How many games did BYU win down the stretch, right? So I'm not saying they're going 6-0 or 7-0.
I am. Let's go.
But I'm telling you, there's a chance, guys. BYU has enough coming back. They're loaded on defense, and this is year three with Jay Hill. So they're going to be in every single game, even against the best teams. So they're loaded on D. And when you have your starting quarterback coming back as a senior at BYU, their entire running back core and all of that, they're going to be in good shape.
Blaine, It's great to catch up with you, man. Let's do it all again, right, soon. Big basketball game tonight. I know you're looking forward to that. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you guys all tonight.
After the break, we close this show out in a hurry. A Fast and Furious finish on the way.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from @Riker_1995 on X. They would change. The one thing is the Utah football and BYU football fans agree on is that game needs to be played in November.
At least November.
We can agree on that, right? Okay. Today's Rising Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Everybody staying up to watch BYU Arizona tonight.
It's going to be a late night.
Can't wait, man.
Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham and Uncle B, Blaine Fowler.
Sorry to Dennis. Ran out.
For Jeremiah, I'm Spencer, and a final shout-out to Matt Carlino. We'll see you tonight for BYU Sports Nation Countdown, 10 Eastern on BYU TV. Go Cougs!